Hello, hello. Good morning.
Hello.
I was unsure if I even wanted to do this. Lisa had been asking me, "Hey, when are you going to put together your outline?" And I kept going, "I'm not sure I want to. Maybe I'll keep pushing it off." And I was like, "I don't know if I want to do it." Talking to Brian, my wife, she's like, "You can do it if you want to, but if you don't." But then I was like, "Well, even when she's been saying this, God has been speaking to me about it." So I'm like, okay, I feel like I know God wants me to speak, so I should do it. And I put together an outline. And then I kept pushing it off again and again. And Lisa kept saying, "Hey, when are you going to turn in your outline? When are you going to turn in your outline?" And when it's stuff I don't want to do, I definitely need to push in that direction. So I ended up putting together my outline, talked to Bruce. I was like, "Hey, is it too late to do something?" He's like, "Nope, you're good. And by the way, next week we don't have a speaker. So if you want to do it, you can." So I guess I'm doing it this week. I am Jonathan. As Bruce said, I am his son-in-law. I'm married to Brian. Usually I'm up top running sound, hiding away from everybody, but God's got me up here today. So praise God. So I'll just jump into it right away. Just my testimony. So I was born and raised in Midwest Wisconsin, in the small town of Cumberland. I'm the bottom middle child out of four. My parents were Christian, and all of us were homeschooled for a time before eventually going into public school. I gave my heart to Jesus at an early age, and all I knew was God and what my parents and the church taught me. I was part of sports at public school while I was being homeschooled. And I decided I would rather have relationships than the freedom I had with being a homeschooled kid. I went full-time into public school in eighth grade, and there was a very quick learning curve when it came to things that my parents were protecting me from. My parents weren't overprotective per se, but it was definitely a you kept away from sin, but you also didn't learn about it, if that made sense. You were aware that there was sin, but there wasn't really a teaching of how to avoid it when you ran into it. It was better to avoid it altogether rather than deal with it as it came up, if that makes sense. So, everyone around me in high school seemed to be having fun, so I joined in on it, and I wanted to be socially accepted, so I was willing to do dumb things. By the end of high school, lost my place. By the end of high school, I ended up developing bad habits like tobacco, swearing like a sailor, and drinking too much, and did not really know my full worth. I graduated in 2012. I was an intelligent kid. I wanted to get away from my parents to go have fun, so I found UW-La Crosse to attend college at, which happened to be the second biggest party school in Wisconsin, besides UW-Madison. My roommate took me partying the first day I was there, and that set the tone for the rest of my attendance at UW-La Crosse. I stayed with the party crowd. There were nights that my mom says she would wake up and be in prayer interceding for my life. I got kicked out of my dorm within the first 2 months of college and put on a school probation, and after my fourth semester, I was kicked out of college for not meeting the academic standard. I was humbled and moved in with my parents and got a job at a butcher shop in my hometown. But after a while, I wanted more freedom to do what I wanted to. So I ended up moving out into an apartment with a friend, later on with another friend, and all while continuing to abuse alcohol and it becoming harder to hide. Then fast forward to 2019, and I decided to move into an apartment on my own. I had no one I needed to hide it from at that point, so I spiraled and didn't end up fully crawling out of that hole until 2021. So that's the overall negative side of things of the testimony. But during all this, God was still there. So in high school, I went on a missions trip to Mexico, Russia, and after graduating, I went to China as well. I loved other countries and coming alongside missionaries. I enjoyed the serving aspect of things, and I just loved other countries, to be honest, and the food and the culture. I even considered missions work for a time after college when I wasn't sure what I was going to do. So I knew God had a call on my life, and there was a hunger there. I just chose to satisfy the hunger other ways. After high school, I went to church, but over time started attending less and less. One thing stayed the same, though. Fusion Bible Camp. I've been going since I could every year. Yeah, Lisa knows. I've been going there since I could, and every year I experience God move and the Holy Spirit. I became sports staff after I graduated, and I've been on staff, and now the sports director since then. No matter where I was in my life, I wanted to be there. I wanted to serve. And part of that service came from my youth pastor, Pastor Dan Slater. He just instilled a servant's heart in me. He gave me opportunities that I felt like I didn't deserve. He was the sports director before me. He never asked questions about my lifestyle. All he saw was my willingness to serve. And that's why he asked if I wanted to do that position. I don't know if I'd be here today if it weren't for him asking me. And it's just been a huge part of my life. I knew God was real. I knew he had power. I knew I could heal. I knew the Holy Spirit was real. I knew miracles were possible. But I didn't have a strong relationship, and I positioned myself away from God. I even felt shame at times that God was still using me and my lifestyle did not reflect him. Brian had to experience part of this while I was working through these issues when we decided to start dating. To be honest, she was a reason to try to get and be better. I started to get closer to God and started to learn how valuable I was to God. Through that, I was able to get sober. I ended up falling in love, moving to Kenosha, proposing, getting married, buying a home, a second home, graduating college with a bachelor's degree, and now having a baby on the way. My dad got to see me sober, married. Writing things down versus verbalizing is always different. I've never took the time to fully write down my testimony. I've said it or parts of it to certain people, but never put it all together, which has been a very interesting experience for sure. Because there's just so many things that you see where God was moving, God was there, you know, how just great he is in that fulfillment that he's done. Okay. He got to see me married now, proud of me, before he passed about a year and a half ago, during Fusion Bible Camp, middle of the week. It was not great. But I was surrounded by people that loved me, and I was positioned right where God knew I should be. Since then, I've had more of a hunger for the things of God. God has blessed me and kept his promise to me and my mom. Philippians 1:6 is the verse that my mom heard from God when she was pregnant with me and always reminded me of it and even texted me this morning. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And with that, Proverbs 22:6, which kind of just goes along with it. Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My life is a testimony to this verse. There were times where I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to be a part of things, but my parents were like, you're going to church, you're going to be part of this. And I learned, and I started to develop a relationship, whether or not as it kept on in my life is a little bit different, but through it all, here I am today because that was set. That was the standard. Once you know God, and you run away for a little bit, you always end up back because you know it wasn't better. Everything's always work. You might find some immediate fun or, you know, things can go good for a while, but, you know, how many adults, even later on in life, 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, deathbed or later on are like, I need Jesus, because they know all of it wasn't worth it. So it's just amazing how great God's promises are. So what I feel like God wanted me to highlight in all the testimony is, where are you positioning yourself? Are you setting yourself for failure? Are you setting yourself up for success? You know, I'm going to kind of focus on more of physical positioning, but there is, you know, a mental positioning. There's spiritually positioning yourself, but this is more of, where did I go and what situations did I put myself in that I could have avoided altogether if I had just made the choice not to go? So one such person is going to be David, I'll pull from. So 2 Samuel 11, 1. This is when he's king. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. So in case you don't know the story, after he sends out all these people to battle, when kings are supposed to go to battle as well, he ends up seeing a woman taking a bath on top of the rooftop, sending someone to go get her, sleeping with her, has a kid with her, and then to hide all of his shame, he has her husband killed. And what stuck out to me was that it clearly says that is a time when kings go into battle. It could have been David was tired. It could have been he didn't want to go. But that was a season for all of them that this is what you did. This is where he should have been. Because he stayed, because he did not go into battle, he positioned himself on his palace, looking out, and he saw what he shouldn't have seen. Now, of course, could he have not made that decision? Well, yeah, which you always have the potential for success, but he didn't have to go through that in the first place. He could have done what God had called him to do in his life. So another story, which is Samson and Delilah. Samson's chosen by God at birth. He is consecrated, and if they ever cut his hair, he loses his strength. He was one of the judges. If you read the story of Samson, he didn't always live the most holy lifestyle. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. So he was having relations with a Philistine woman, and after enough time, he gave up the one thing that would end up getting him killed, which was the secret to his strength. Another place where Samson could have avoided this, if he had continued with following after God. He may have been a judge, but he wasn't living the lifestyle. And he also chose to go and be with the Philistine woman. And because of that choice and where he put himself, that ended up getting him killed. So the devil wants to convince us that we are disqualified for things we have done. And this kind of relates back to Samson. But God's promises never fail. Samson didn't lose the promise of strength until he broke covenant and his hair was cut. Even then, when his strength was gone and his eyes were gouged out, he cried out one last time for strength to bring down a building on his captors. When God makes a promise, he always fulfills it. The promise that God gave to my mom was fulfilled. Proverbs, training him up in the ways of the Lord, and they will not depart from thee. Living testimony. God will keep his promises no matter what you're doing. Samson, not living a holy lifestyle, still had a supernatural strength. Why? Because God made that promise. It doesn't matter what you do, God's promises will always stay the same. So you can always keep that in your heart. If you know that God has promised you something, if you don't see the end of that promise, You know what is there. And whatever you do, it will not take from it. You may be able to delay it on actions because you're not following God's path, but God's promise will always come true. So, but God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So even if you put yourself in a situation, God has always made a way. We don't have an excuse for making poor decisions because God always makes a way out of it. You can make it harder on yourself and ask why things keep happening. But the truth is, God has made a way for you to get out where you should not be. So as it, when you're in these situations, Matthew 11, 28 through 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When I was going through everything I was going through, it was a burden. And burdens aren't meant to be carried on your own. Burdens weigh you down. And at some point, you stop carrying it, or you set it aside, or you just take a break. God wants you to give him that burden because it's not yours to carry. But we take it upon ourselves to carry it because we feel like we have the power to do so, or we can do it in our own strength, or we think we're powerful enough, or even societally wise, they're saying, you know, you can do anything, or, you know, you get a mindset and you're like, I can do this, and grit your teeth through it. But God doesn't want you to carry it alone. That was never his intention. So this is what, so part of not carrying your burdens, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has power as it's working. So part of your burden and letting other people in on that has to do with confession or telling people what's going on. Confession isn't just a one-time thing. And here they're saying to confess one to another, not because they're going to take away your sin, or, you know, they can save you, but it's so they can pray for you, so they can help you. So that's another way that God's saying, hey, you don't have to carry this burden, because you can give me the burden, but I also want you to tell other people so they can help you, because we're called to be in community. So that means we share with each other. And if you have a healthy community, you're able to talk to anybody, and you can talk through your issues, or even have people come and help you through them. So it's just so important to make other people aware if you're going through something hard, because you don't want to do it alone. One of my biggest mistakes in life was moving out, getting my own apartment. I isolated myself. And the worst part was, it was perfect timing because COVID hit. So now I didn't even have to make up excuses sometimes, because it was COVID. So I could just stay home and do whatever I wanted. And it was terrible. Isolation's just, it's not where it's at. Because the devil wants to isolate you. He wants you to think you're alone. He wants you to think that what you did was too much, that this person doesn't want to hear it. He wants you to be held down by all this shame. He wants you to think that you're not good enough, that all those struggles didn't mean anything. Why? He wants you to think that you missed out, when in all reality, you didn't miss out on anything. God still has his promise. God still has that calling on your life. What you have is a testimony. What you have is something else that can build someone else up. The same mistakes that you made, you can talk to other people so they do not make those mistakes. And it's just so important that even with this testimony stuff, just sharing. I've loved it because I don't always go and talk to people very much. That's kind of my personality. I got to work on it. But I enjoy hearing people's stories. I love that. I love seeing where God has moved in their lives. Because at a glance, you don't know people's story. You only know someone's story once you start talking to them. And even then, they might not even share all their story, depending on the day or where you're at. So it's just amazing just to hear what God has been doing. John 15:4. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Your life will bear fruit. If you are positioned with the Lord, you will reflect life. I spent part of my life positioned away from the Lord, and my life reflected that. I didn't have to go through all the pain. I didn't have to accept emotional baggage for my actions, but I made those choices. But now I have made other choices. I have been restored, redeemed, and I have chosen to serve God and develop a relationship with Him. I am serving at the church and up here in front of you now only because God is good. So I would highly encourage you to position yourself in places where you can succeed and fall in line with what God has called you to do. And if you don't know what your calling is in life, the Bible says that we are to serve others and we are to bring people to Christ. And I just want to close my testimony just with a quick prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that I could come and share my testimony. I thank you, Lord, that you gave me the strength to do so. I thank you, Lord, that there are people in my life that push me to do so. I just thank you, Lord, for all the prayer that has gone out. I just pray that there'll be at least one person, Lord, that it would resonate with, that it could change their life. I just pray that you continue working through all of us. And I pray, Lord, that you just give us more of a boldness to speak our testimony and to make the change in the world that we want to see. Amen.